Tonight, as we come to these two verses, I'd like us to consider that which I love, and then secondly, that which I hate. That which I love, and that which I hate. Dear congregation, we are living in a day when so many dismiss God's word and go on in sin. How we long for the Lord to work. As with the psalmist, we make our prayer to the Lord, it is time for thee. Verse 126, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law. They've made void thy law. They've broken it up. They've cast it away and cast it off. Oh, that God would work. It is time for thee, Lord, to work. And those words are precious, aren't they? And they really show the desire we have in our hearts that God would work in these days. We look out and we're grieved at what's happening. We look up, Lord, it is time for thee to work. If thou dost work, we will see change. We will see a restoring. We will see God's word loved and his day loved and his people loved. It is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law. Oh, that God would work. That there would be a silencing of those who've gone on in sin. That there would be a silencing of the atheist who says there is no God. It is time for thee, Lord, to work. Oh, for God to appear. Oh, for a visitation. In Isaiah 64, verse 1, we read, oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. As when the melting fire burneth, the fire causeth the waters to boil, to make thy name known to thine adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence. We've witnessed the power of God recently. Oh, that yet the nations would tremble at the presence of God, and that they would bow the knee, that they would look unto him. Now the ungodly in David's day dismissed God's law, and this moved his heart. He was grieved, yet he had a firm resolve as well, and his heart was inflamed for God's word. Just note how these words follow on here. Verse 126, it is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law. See, he's grieved, but his heart is stirred. His heart is inflamed. Therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. He loves God's word. Many dismiss it, but he loves God's word. His heart is stirred up. And when we consider those who dismiss God's word today, we're grieved, but doesn't that have an effect? We're stirred up. We have a heart for God's law. We grieve that they miss so much. Because we have known the blessing. Therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. C.H. Spurgeon wrote this, as it was God's time to work, so it was David's time to love. So far from being swayed by the example of evil men, so as to join them in slighting the scriptures, he was the rather led into a more vehement love of them. As he saw the commandments slighted by the ungodly, his heart was in sympathy. They couldn't draw him away. No. His love was increased to God and his word. Well, let's come directly to these two verses tonight. And first of all, we'll consider my love. And secondly, my hatred. First of all, my love, therefore I love thy commandments above gold. Yea, above fine gold, therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right. There's his love. But then we consider his hatred. I hate every false way. Simply then, my love and my hatred. He has a love, an esteem for God's word. It was precious to him. He had such an affection for it. He knew it to be true and right. Notice the middle part of verse 128. Therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right. He knew it was the word of the Lord, and he knew it to be right, though he strayed at times. He knew it was good and right, that is the word before him. Oh, how he loved the word. It was precious to him. Why did he love God's word? Why do we love God's word? It is because we love God, isn't it? Just note these words here. Therefore, I love thy commandments. You remember there are 10 particular words to describe the word of God in Psalm 119. Thy commandments. Yes, we can think of the commandments, the 10 commandments, but we're particularly thinking of the word as a whole. And it's God's word. We love it because it's from God, and we love God. Therefore, I love thy commandments. Now we understand why so many dismiss God's word, because they do not love the Lord. Oh, that men and women, boys and girls, would turn to the Lord, that that grace of love will be put within, that they would be found loving God. Then they would love God's word. But we love God's word because we love God. That grace, that principle of love has been put within. There's love in our hearts, put there by the Holy Spirit. The old theologians speak of it being implanted within. It was put within. It wasn't in by nature, was it? Yes, we may have had a natural love, but we did not have this spiritual grace of love from the Holy Spirit by nature. No, it's put within by the Holy Spirit. Love was put within, and we were found loving God. And what a blessing. When we consider so many tonight do not love the Lord, we can look up and we in prayer later can say to the Lord, as for the psalmist, I love the Lord and I will love thee. I will love the Lord. Are we not blessed to be able to talk to the Lord and make known our love to him? We love him, therefore we love the word. Well, love began on God's side. 1 John 4 verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. It began with him. Oh, such love in the heart of the Lord. God is love, we read in John. Without that, we would never be found loving him. God is love. Oh, we're so thankful for that. Because therefore, we know that that grace in our hearts is true, and we are found loving him. We love him because he first loved us. He loved us with an everlasting love. So amazing, isn't it? An eternal love. So great is his love. The apostle wrote in Ephesians 2 verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Rich in mercy, that's precious, isn't it? Not just a little, he's rich in mercy. Oh, the riches of the mercy of the Lord. And then his great love, so great is his love. It's eternal, it's everlasting. Oh, so great is his love. And with such a great love, he loved us. How I long to love the Lord more. How I long for the fruit of love to ripen in my soul, that my love would be greater. Or just consider, he loved us with a great love, such a love, such a great love, wherewith he loved us and he still loves us. Love so amazing. Consider the love of Christ. Galatians 2 verse 20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. He loved me. What great love, what sacrificial love, that he gave himself for me. Oh, consider the love of God is everlasting. Consider the love of God, the Son, so sacrificial. He gave himself for us. Oh, consider Calvary tonight. That's why you're found loving God's word, isn't it? It begins on God's side. It begins with him. Oh, go to the cross tonight. Consider afresh what the Lord has done for your soul. And then we begin to realize afresh, it's because of him we're found loving God's word. He loved me so much that he died for me. He loved me so much in effectual calling that he came and entered my life. And I was found loving him with that grace, that fruit of the Spirit. It began with God. We love him because he first loved us. As we think of our love to the Word, and why do we love the Word? Because it's the Word of God. Are we not thankful for that love of God, that so special love of God towards us? Well, we love him, and therefore we love his Word. It goes hand in hand. That's why so many do not love God's Word, because they don't love God, do they? But we do. We esteem his word. What did Job say in Job 23 verse 12? Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. The words of his mouth. It's God's word, isn't it? And you know, it's a blessing, isn't it, when we come to the word and we just consider it's God's word. And the Lord speaks to me. But Job had such an esteem for the word, the words of his mouth. In Psalm 68, verse 11, we read, the Lord gave the word. The Lord, our great covenant God, our precious God, he gave the word. And we know, as Thomas Watson writes, we are sure that it came from heaven. It came from heaven, it came from God. Our covenant God, he who so loves us, he who has saved us. We love him and we love his word. Just turn back over the page to verse 97. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Is the psalmist, he's speaking to the Lord. Oh, how love I thy law. He's thinking of the word again. He's talking to God. He considers the Lord speaks to him. He's responding in prayer and praise. Oh, how love I thy law. You know, it's good, as we considered last Lord's Day evening, to address the Lord in prayer or in praise, as we see in Psalm 116, verse 1. And renew our love to him. I love the Lord. You know, that can be so helpful to the soul, to speak to the Lord of our love. Well, let's go further. Let's tell the Lord often, not only do we love him, but we love his word. We love his word. Oh, how love I thy law. See that energy there, that earnestness. Oh, how love I thy law. That's where I want to be every time. It's not always the case, but that's where I want to be. And the Lord looks on the desire of our hearts. Oh, how love I thy law. The Lord speaks to me through his word. I love the Lord's voice. Song of Solomon 2 verse 8, the voice of my beloved. It's the voice of my beloved. We love him. We love his voice. And it's precious, isn't it? When we're aware of the beloved and that he's speaking to us. We may have been weary, but the Lord keeps his promise that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And there comes this renewing through the word and the spirit. And we hear the voice, and it's comforting and strengthening. The voice of my beloved. It's precious when we're aware of his voice. Oh, I want to hear his voice. We hear it through the word. Oh, to speak to me, Lord. Remember Samuel of old? Speak for thy servant here. Speak to me. The great God speaks to his children. Our Heavenly Father speaks to us. Our loving Shepherd speaks to us. Our Comforter speaks to us. Speak, for thy servant heareth. I love thee and I love thy word. Speak to me, Lord. Speak to me. Thou knowest where I am. You know, we've proved that so often, haven't we, as we come to the word each day. There've been times we've come and we read a verse and the Lord so speaks to us. Yesterday I was reading through the first four chapters of Chronicles in my reading, all those lists of names. And I have to confess, it was quite hard going through the names until I got to Jabez. Oh, how precious those verses were. Bless me indeed. And the Lord heard. The Lord speaks, and we love his word. But what does the psalmist say here in verse 127? Therefore, I love thy commandments above gold. The ungodly, they've cast away God's word. They've made void, not me now. I love thy commandments above gold. The word was far more precious and so greatly loved. David had his gold. He was a rich man. But oh, he looked to the word and considered how blessed he was to have the word and the Lord speaking to him. Therefore, I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. The very best gold could not compare to the words from the Lord his God. Gold would be of some advantage to him. And having money is of some advantage to us. But much more is the word of God, isn't it? Much more. Therefore, I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Far more advantage, far more precious than gold. Oh, consider the preciousness of the word which we love. Therefore, I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. There's been an enlightening. Many are dazzled by the sight of gold. Yet for the believer, they are amazed at the word. They gaze on the precious book. Well, let's just open this up and consider the preciousness of the word and why we love the word. Just very briefly, firstly, it was used in our salvation. Romans 10, verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God ordinarily uses the word. Faith cometh by hearing. Maybe we heard a sermon preached on some text, or we were reading some verses, and the Lord began to speak to us. And we were led unto Christ. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Peter wrote in 1 Peter 1 verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. How the Lord uses his word. I remember I used to look at this text, what think ye of Christ? And I used to count the letters. I used to also see how many words I could make out of the text. But there came a day when I began to really look at those words. What think ye of Christ? And I loved him. How the Lord uses his word. Secondly, it tells me of Jesus leading on. Tells me of Jesus. Oh, we love the word, don't we? It tells me of Jesus and I hear his voice speaking. On the road to Emmaus, you recall our Lord opened up the scriptures concerning himself. Just to those two, he opened up the scriptures, and what a sermon those two had. Oh, what condescension, what mercy. The Lord comes to the gatherings, and the smaller ones as well as the larger ones, where two or three are gathered together. You see the interest he has in us. Where he came, they were sad, he drew alongside. And we're told in Luke 24, verse 27, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. What a sermon. We often just look at one or two verses, don't we? Our Lord went through the whole of the Old Testament, picking out things for those two. He led them to Genesis. He led them to Exodus, to Job, to the Psalms, to the book of Esther. In all the scriptures, Isaiah, Micah, Malachi, so on and so forth, and he opened up those things concerning himself. Just consider the book of Psalms. Just go to Psalm 40. In that psalm, we're led to consider the sufferings of Christ just prior to his exaltation. We think of the sufferings of Christ, but also the resurrection of Christ. We consider the preaching of Christ in that psalm, but we also then consider the incarnation of Christ in that psalm. So much concerning Christ in that psalm. Well, he opened up the Psalms and all the Old Testament. Oh, we love the word, don't we? Because it tells us of Jesus. And we hear his voice. My beloved, the voice of my beloved. Oh, so on and so forth. He tells me the gospel. Remember those words, Luke 2, verse 11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord, my Saviour. Christ the Lord, my Saviour and Lord. And are we not thankful to hear those words and other such words that remind us of the gospel, the good news, the news that has brought delight to the soul. In Proverbs 25, verse 25, as cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. It's not particularly a warm summer this year, is it? We've had so much rain. If you just think of those hot summers. A glass of cool water. It's refreshing, isn't it? Oh, think of the good news from a far country. The good news concerning Jesus Christ, your Saviour and your friend. Thirdly, why is the word loved? Why is it precious? Because it directs me in this dark world. Psalm 119, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. In the daytime and also in the night time. In a day when things are a little easier, but also in the night time of affliction or the darkness of affliction, as we see in Isaiah 50 verse 10, it directs us and we're thankful, aren't we? We're aware of the increasing darkness, but we have a lamp and we have a light and the Lord leads us on. And we're thankful for that. The Lord speaks to us. He helps us. Fourthly, we love the word. It's precious to us because it's a comfort to us in our affliction. Verse 50. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. How often we have been comforted in affliction. Maybe a friend comes alongside, a good listening friend, and they put their hand on your shoulder and they listen. They listen to you. And you're comforted. Consider the Lord who comes through his word. We're comforted so often. We're helped, aren't we? Though we may be crying still. We may be still struggling. But we feel that little feeling of peace and comfort in the soul. A verse comes. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. I just think of my granny's face Monday afternoons before she died, after the death of my grandfather. Aaron, read to me John 14, and particularly verse 27. And you could see it on her face. She just loved those words. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. And you could see on her face she was helped, she was comforted, and she would smile. She would smile when she would hear those words, peace I leave with you. And it's a precious when we begin to feel the comforting of the word, the comfort of the scriptures. And the Lord through the Spirit applies them. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. We may have been cast down. And the Lord comes, he speaks. And we feel that comfort, oh, I love thy word. We may have been perplexed. Anxious, worried, but the Lord comes through the word. The Spirit applies. Oh, we love the word. Fifthly, it is an aid to assurance. It is an aid to assurance. Satan can come along and whisper. How can it be so? Doubts can arise in the heart. It's not easy, is it? Sometimes we hear the whispers of Satan, and then doubts arise in the heart, and one can be alarmed. But the Lord uses his word. 1 John 5, verse 13, these things have I written unto you that believe. Note there, they were believers. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Now what's it implied there? What does John imply there under the inspiration of the Spirit? That some believers struggle a lot with doubts. He's addressing believers there. I remember Dr. Masters at college opening up this verse. This is a particular verse to help those Christians who know doubts in their hearts. And I never forgot it to this day. Well, I don't forget now either. That ye may know that ye have eternal life. And the Lord uses his word. We can be led to the cross. And we think of the cross as we hear the word read. And we think, well, it's not me. It's what Jesus has done. My hope of heaven is not myself, it's what Jesus has done. That ye may know that ye have eternal life. Lord, when we feel the comfort of it, it's precious, isn't it? Thomas Watson wrote, the law of God contains in it our evidences for heaven. The law of God contains in it our evidences for heaven. Is it not comfortable reading over our evidences? It's not when we examine doubts, is it? But it's comfortable when we read the Word of God. It's all of grace. It's what Christ has done. Grace alone, Christ alone, not me. Oh, we love the Word because it is an aid to assurance. Sixthly, we love it because we're corrected. Turn with me to Psalm 19, verse 10 and 11. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. You see there how the psalmist treasured the word. It was more desirable to him than gold, and also honey. I've never liked honey. But oh, how precious is the word of God. Even when we recognize the Lord's dealings with us and when he rebukes us. And we're thankful, aren't we? Suddenly a verse comes and oh, we think, oh, the Lord's speaking to me. I must do better. We love the word of God, don't we? Because how the Lord comes and that can be a further aid to assurance. When we feel convicted, let that be an aid to assurance, because those whom he loveth, he rebukes and chastens. When we feel convicted, it's an aid to assurance. I am loved. I'm so loved by thee that thou dost come and convict me. I love thy law. Sometimes it's not easy, is it? Sometimes we struggle when we're convicted through the word. But oh, quickly consider how the Lord loves me. I do belong to the unbeliever isn't convicted like us, no. Oh, we love the word of God. Well, we must draw to a close. My love. Secondly, my hatred. My hatred. I hate every false way. At the end of verse 128. Many follow the false way, that is, that which is opposite to the truth. They go in a way which is contrary to God's word. Notice what we read again in verse 126. It is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law. They've cast it off. They won't have it. I hate every false way. I hate those who lie. And I hate the lies. I hate the gossip. I hate the whispers of the devil, for that's a false way. We hate such whispers, don't we? And the devil comes and he questions and he seeks to sow doubts in the air. We hate that false way. I hate sin. I hate every false way. Firstly, I hate the sin that I'm confronted with before mine eyes. It's not precious to me. I hate it. But then secondly, I hate the sin within. I hate the sin that's presented to me, but I hate the sin within. I was listening to a brief sermon on Monday evening from the Reverend William MacLeod at the International Prayer Meeting that's held every Monday evening. And when he went into the ministry, the preacher preached on Goliath and David, and he found it a strange sermon for his ordination. But he later understood the relevance of it. The giants, the critics, those who oppose. But one of the great giants is sin within. I hate the sin within. Remember the publican in the temple, Luke 18, verse 13. Standing afar off, would not so lift much as lift up his eyes unto heaven. Would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven. Couldn't look in heaven's direction. He felt shame. I remember at times not being able to look up. I'd done something wrong. And my parents had found out, what have you done? And I couldn't look up. The shame. The publican, he couldn't look up. He smote upon his breast. He was grieved over the sin within. God be merciful to me, a sinner, was his plea. Remember the Apostle Paul in Romans 7, verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not, but what I hate, that I do. And when we really sit down and think about sin, when we really think about what we do in sinful things, we don't love it, do we? We're grieved what we've done. But what I hate, that I do. We mourn that we ever sin again, don't we? How we long for heaven. Oh, wonderful moment. When you say goodbye to sin. And that moment's coming. And when you say goodbye to sin, you'll then be looking at Jesus, your Saviour. And you'll see the nail prints. And you'll be amazed at the love in his eyes. What an amazing thought. We'll say goodbye to sin. We'll see Jesus and we'll be reminded of what it cost to bear away our sin. But we'll be so happy. One day we're going to say goodbye to sin. I'm looking forward to that. Just think of that moment when you say goodbye to sin. You'll then be so happy in the presence of Jesus. You'll never battle again with sin. You have all eternity before you. But oh, here we battle. We battle with that which we hate. What did the Apostle Paul go on to say in verse 24? O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? O wretched man. I hate the false way. I hate my sin. But oh, how I love thy word. For it rebukes me and corrects me. It brings me to the feet of Jesus. It leads me to consider Jesus afresh, my wonderful Saviour. And my friend, it comforts me, it helps me, it strengthens me. I am enriched through the word. What can gold really do for us compared to the word of God? Oh, the blessings, how we're enriched through the word.